Welcome to another class of Alliance of Honorable Men. I'm glad to be with you again. Last time we were together, we began to talk about the qualities of an apostle. I went over three of them, or three, the third one partially. I'm going to continue that one tonight, and then we'll go to four and five. Now, this is not an exhaustive qualities of an apostle, but this is enough to get you started, to get us to an understanding to when we do get to the text book for this class, we'll have an understanding. Next week, we'll deal with prophets. Then the following week, evangelists. And the following week, pastors and teachers. So we'll go from there. If you would, turn with me to 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. Now, I want to continue. Let me give you the five again. Number one, apostle carries the agenda of God, carries the plans of God. They know what God wants. Number two, they structure heaven to earth government. Why? So that the portals of the supernatural can be open so that all those who are connected can enter in and benefit from. The third one we ended with last week was he or she structures doctrine. We gave the example of John 3:3, how Jesus told us that we must be born again. But it was the Apostle Paul that told us how he structured that doctrine. I also want to show you tonight and continue with the third quality of structure and doctrine, how an apostle progressively can structure doctrine. So we'll see, turn me to 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, and the 27th verse. He says, now, this is Apostle Paul talking to the Corinthian church. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. And God has set some in the church, first apostles. You see that? First apostles. That he given them ranks and given them chronological ranks. First apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, and diversity of tongues. Verse 29, are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Having all the gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? And the answer to that is obviously no. So we see the Apostle Paul laying out a form of government. But remember I said, an apostle structures doctrine. Apostles are hearing from God and growing too. Let's deal with this. Why? Let's ask this question. Why? Does an apostle, why are they able to structure doctrine? The reason why they are able to structure doctrine is because of their experience they have with God. Now, experience is built over time. That's why I don't believe in no young apostles that's ranked high. You may be called to be an apostle, but if you don't have no experience with God, then you can't structure doctrine. The Apostle Paul had experience with God, so he was able to structure doctrine. What I mean by he had experience with God, he has been through some things with God and has fruit in his life. So an apostle with no fruit can't structure doctrine. How can you structure something for which you have no experience with? If you trying to structure doctrine with no experience, it's just theory. Because you don't know if it works yourself. So the Apostle Paul was able to structure this doctrine. So here you see the Apostle Paul also is able to further structure doctrine or grow, allow God to further reveal his agenda. How I know this? Go to Ephesians, the 4th chapter. Hold your fingers there in 1 Corinthians 12. Hold your finger there and go to Ephesians, the 4th chapter. Now, in Ephesians, the 4th chapter, in the, I want to start at verse 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captive and gave gifts unto men. Who? Jesus gave gifts unto men. Verse 9. Now that he ascended, what is that? But he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. It's given credentials to why he can give these gifts, why Jesus can give these gifts. He that descended is also is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And verse 11, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. We see Paul progressively structure and doctrine, because go back to 1 Corinthians 12, you'll see that in the 28th verse, he said, and God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers. But in Ephesians 4 and 11, he has some apostles first and some prophets and some evangelists. Evangelists, that word is introduced. And some pastors and teachers. So now teachers are last. They were third in the 28th verse of the 1 Corinthians 12 chapter, but now they're last by rank or function, not by importance. See, the Apostle Paul in the Ephesians 4 and 11, he ranked them based on function, not importance. Function. See, that's why we have to have the culture of honor. So when God called, if God calls you to office, he calls you to whatever office he calls you to, you will understand your function. It's not about rank. It's not about who has more authority. It's not about that. Jesus gave gifts unto many. Jesus gave these gifts because the gifts are supposed to work together. Are you seeing this? So you see Apostle Paul able to structure that doctrine. He was establishing government in 1 Corinthians 12 and 28, but then he got further revelation to further establish government in Ephesians 4 and 11. All right. So there, an apostle structures doctrine. All right. On to number four. Number four, an apostle has territorial authority over demons and principalities. I said territorial by design. He has territorial authority over demons and principalities. There are different principalities and demons that rule over different geographical areas. And an apostle in that area has a true apostle has authority over that demon or principality in that area. When he or she speaks, they listen. You can easily find out if an area has an apostle in that area, because whatever demon has authority, whatever principality that cannot be broken, that means there is not an apostle in the area. What is that really saying? What that's really saying is there's no one in that area that is willing to carry out God's agenda. There's no one in that geographical location that is willing to carry out God's agenda, because the authority comes with God's agenda. If you're not willing to carry God's agenda, there's no need for his authority, because you cannot take his authority to fulfill your agenda. His authority is attached to his agenda. So if you see any geographical area in the earth that has a principality or a demon that is ruling that area, it simply means there is not enough apostolic grace in that area. There is not an apostle. What is that? There's not somebody, some human that is willing to carry out God's agenda in that area. And so the geographical location will suffer. Turn me to Acts, the 19th chapter. Very familiar scripture. A lot of people try to extrapolate this scripture over to all Christians, but this ain't for all Christians. This is very government restricted. This is very apostolic. It's an apostolic scripture. Acts, the 19th chapter and the 14th verse. Well, let's look at start at verse 11. And God wrought special miracles by the hand of Paul. By the hand of who? Of Paul, the Apostle Paul. So that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Notice that evil spirits went out of them. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits, the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, a chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered, and notice what the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye, or who are you? Now, this is an apostolic passage of scripture. This is not an everyday religious, because I know the name of Jesus, I can do these things scripture. This is a very apostolic scripture. What I mean by apostolic? The agenda of God is present. The government of God is structured, and the authority of God now can be released. What I mean by that? Look at verse 11. And God wrought special miracles, not just miracles, special miracles by the hand of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the disease departed from them, and evil spirits went out of them. Now, verse 13, this is what I want you to see. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches. Then it gives one example, the seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew. Now, if you study Sceva, you'll realize that Sceva was a priest that wasn't in divine order. So his sons, and the way it worked in the Old Testament, that the Levites, when you were born, you were a in a tribe of Levites, you were a Levite or a priest. So that means fathers that produce sons, the sons will become priests. But here in the New Testament, it ain't working like that no more. It's about God's agenda. So if you are attached to God's agenda, notice what it says. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took it upon them. That means that title, that description of them, vagabond Jews, exorcists, already lets you know that they were not connected to Paul. They weren't connected to the government of God. They weren't adhering to God's agenda. So now when they try to go do what the Apostle Paul does, not being connected, that evil spirit, those evil spirits did not recognize them. Matter of fact, the evil spirits knew who had territorial and authority over them and the principalities in the area. Why? Because they called them by name. And I'm glad they just didn't say Jesus. They say Jesus, we know. Who else they said? Paul, we know. But who are you? Look at verse 8, verse 16. And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. So the reason why that happened to them is because they weren't connected to the person who had territorial authority over those principalities and demons in that area. And the demons were very specific. They named Jesus and the Apostle Paul. How did they know Jesus? Jesus had dealt with them already. How did they know the Apostle Paul? Because it said, and God wrought special miracles, verse 11, through the hands of Paul. They knew Paul was carrying God's agenda. So they recognized when a person carried God's agenda, they carry God's authority. So now, watch this. Let me hip you to something. I don't have to be an apostle. But if I'm connected to an apostle, what it really means, I'm connected to the agenda of God. So that means I can be apostolic, meaning I too have authority over territorial demons and the principalities of a geographical location. So anytime you see churches, I gotta be real, anytime you see churches and men and women of God in an area that cannot overcome a principality or a territorial demon, is only one thing you can conclude, is that they are not connected to the agenda of God. They may be doing things for God. They may be pretending to be for God. But if they are not for the agenda of God and what God wants to do for that area, they don't have a right to the authority or the power of God for that area. And so that demon or that principality will rule supreme in that area until a man or woman of God who is willing to yield to the agenda of God and what God wants to do in that area, then they will have the authority and the power to clear that area up. Give you a real life example. Apostle, long before he even recognized the office, was walking in these qualities. We now sit on, the church sits on the original 40 acres of property that we purchased here. We initially went to go and purchase some property that was a little further down, maybe I think it was about 30 acres, about 40 acres further down. Land was tied up. We had done some work on the land, but the land was tied up. We left our work pile there, and Apostle said, nah, we're not, Dr. Thompson at the time, we're not going to deal with it. About a few months later, another opportunity came up for us to buy 40 more acres that was a little further down from that. Apostle bought it. At first, a gentleman came to him and said, Dr. Thompson, I wouldn't buy this property. He's trying to build a garbage dump behind this property. I wouldn't buy this property if I was you. He said immediately the Spirit of the Lord gave him direction and say, buy the property. So he bought the property. We built the church. Now, mind you now, God has given him money cometh. Doing all this, God had given him money cometh a couple of years before. So he had been operating in the principle of money cometh. So we were able to buy this property cash, build the church cash. Listen now, I'm talking about territorial demons and principalities being dealt with. Well, we bought this property about a year later. Some other gentleman at the same time bought that, at the same time we bought this property, bought the 40 acres. They bought another 200 acres behind us that surrounded us. They decided not to put a garbage dump, but to put a subdivision. That's where Pelican Point comes from. Since Apostle bought this property, a territorial principality of poverty has been decimated from this area. This had nothing in this area. Now everything is coming this direction. All of the prosperity, all of the commerce is coming to this area. Gonzales began to grow because of a territorial demon and principality that has been lifted. Gonzales and the parish of Ascension. You may have counties, we have parishes. The Ascension Parish is the second fastest growing parish in the state. That's not by accident. It's because a man of God decided to yield to the agenda of God, carry his prophetic word of money coming, and it has had an immediate impact on a geographical area. So anybody who has been with Apostle since the old sanctuary, we have some partners and stuff that have been with Apostle since the old sanctuary, you can tell them come and travel down here for the prosperity of our camp meet, you can see that prosperity has changed. So that means that, now do we have people that here that still broke? Yep. Do we have still people that's in poverty around this area? Yep. Why? Because they won't yield to God's agenda. They won't connect. So therefore, they have to fight the world system, and the world system is not aiming to prosper them. It's aiming to keep its foot on their neck. So that's a real life example of somebody who has a territorial authority over principalities and demons. All right. Number five. This is important. Number five, the fifth quality of an apostle is that an apostle focuses more on God's voice and what he wants rather than people's feelings. Go with me to Mark the 11th chapter. We'll see Jesus in action. Mark the 11th chapter. See, this is why you cannot get offended with an apostle, because apostles really don't care about your feelings at all. I mean, not at all. Look at Jesus in Mark, the 15th chapter. Watch this. Mark the 11th chapter. I apologize. Mark the 11th chapter and the 15th verse. Mark the 11th chapter. Let me get that turned to the 15th chapter. Let me get to the 11th chapter and the 15th verse. Verse 15. And they come to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began to cast them out that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught, saying unto them, Is it not written, my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And the scribes and the chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him, because all the people were astonished at his doctrine. All right. Now, let's look at another version of this. Go to John, the second chapter. John is a little more descriptive in how Jesus did it. Praise God. John, the second chapter and the 15th verse. Let's go to verse 12. And after this, he went down to Capernaum, where he and his mother and his brother and his disciples, and they continued there not for many days. And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, a whip, he drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out all the changers' money, and overthrew the tables. And he said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence. Make not my father's house a house of merchandise. Jesus was functioning in the office of apostle, coming to get things straight that was out of order. That's what an apostle does. Remember, apostle structures heaven to earth government. And in order to structure heaven to earth government, sometimes you just can't care about how people feel. You must do what God say, and everybody else must either align with it or get mad and leave. Jesus was reordering or structuring heaven to earth government. He did not care how people felt. Go with me to Galatians 2. Let me give you another example. Galatians 2. Verse 9. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me Barnabas, the right hand of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathens, and they unto the circumcision. All right, you see that? There's a separation being made. Why the separation made? Because of agenda. God is divinely structuring government agenda. Are you seeing this? Verse 10, only they would that we should remember the poor, the same which I also was forwarded to do. Verse 11, but when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him face to face, because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But then when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews disassembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not upright according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou being a Jew livest after the manner of Gentiles and not as the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? We who are Jews by nature and not citizens of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. So what happened here? They separated. Peter and them went to the circumcision. Paul and Barnabas went to the uncircumcised or the Gentiles. But when they come back together, Peter came to visit the Apostle Paul. Peter began, Peter was by himself, he began to socialize with the Gentiles and begin to function and begin to behave like Gentile. When the Jews showed up or the other ones showed up, he began to separate himself, figuring that he's going to be ridiculed by the Jews. And it was causing, listen, this is the key. It was causing problems in the apostolic house of Paul, because the Gentiles that he had begun to teach, began to question themselves. So the Apostle Paul stood up to Peter, not caring about nobody feeling, only the agenda of God. What was the agenda of God? The Apostle Paul was called to the uncircumcised. Peter was called to the circumcised. So it wasn't anything that Peter had done wrong. It was where he was doing it. It was where. Peter was supposed to behave that way when he was amongst the Jews because of culture. But Peter knew that the culture didn't override, watch this, didn't override the agenda of God. Yeah, Peter had to do that in order to win the Jews to Christ. You can't go into a place, and the Apostle Paul said himself, when I'm with the Romans, I become a Roman. What that means? He said, I'm not going to tear their culture up. I must win them first and let the word of God do the work in their culture. But Peter came to a different culture and was trying to bring the Jewish culture, which was a bondage to the Gentiles. It wasn't bondage to the Jews because they were learning. He was training them to come out of that. But it was a bondage to the Gentiles, to where the Gentiles began to revert back, acting like Jews. And the Apostle Paul, who was true to God's agenda, listen to me, true to God's agenda, didn't care about Peter's feelings, didn't care about the other Jews' feelings. He withstood them because when you come in this apostolic house, your culture is going to acclimate to this house because of God's agenda. So Paul had to correct Peter. Let me give you another example. Acts 19. Acts 19. It is very important that we understand this quality of an apostle. I get further to it when I get to a pastor, but this is one of the breakdowns that we have in the church today because we don't have the culture of honor. Because there has not been a recognition of apostles, a pastor's qualities have been skewed. A pastor or a shepherd looks out for the people, but a shepherd or a pastor without being connected to an apostle don't have an apostolic edge. Listen at me. So without the apostolic edge or the apostolic connection, the characteristic of a pastor is going to dominate over the agenda of God. So a pastor will begin to govern based on how the people feel rather than based on what God is saying. That's why we have all these programs. That's why we have to do all these things to keep people attention. That's why we have to keep reinventing ourselves in the church without an apostolic grace or an apostolic edge, because now we got to please the people instead of doing what God says. So an apostle comes in, doesn't care about the people's feeling, but as again, an apostle need a pastor. Because a pastor connected to an apostle has time to deal with the people on an apostolic level or apostolic with the apostolic edge. Because an apostle really don't care about the people. An apostle that is not connected to an apostle will tear a congregation up because he or she coming in and only concerned about the agenda of God. So that's why we have to have the culture of honor where we work together. I will get to that. Acts 19, look at verse 30. Let me give you another example of an apostle not caring about people's feelings. Acts 19, let's see, verse, did I write that down right? Let me make sure I get it right. Acts 19, let me look at it. I don't think I wrote that down right. Let me see, Acts 19, Acts 15. I wrote that down wrong. Acts 15. Let me change it in my notes now. Acts 15. Look at Acts 15. Acts 15, verse 36. I had to write scriptures, just not the right chapter. That won't work. Acts 15. Let's see. Let me start at, I want to get 36, but let me see. Look at verse 32. And Judas and Silas, being prophets, also themselves exhorted the brethren with many words and confirmed them. And after they had tarried their space, they were let go in peace from the brethren unto the apostles. Notwithstanding, it pleased Silas to abide there still. Paul also and Barnabas continued in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. Verse 36. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and revisit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. Going back and check their apostolic work. All right. Watch this now. And verse 37, and Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. Verse 38, but Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them in Pamphylia. So in other words, John, whose surname was Mark, John Mark had already been given an assignment to come with them, but he left to do something else against their assignment. So the Apostle Paul is saying, nah, Barnabas, we don't need to bring John Mark because he left us once. He might leave us again. Watch this. Verse 39. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus. And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. Now, I got one question for you. Who do we continue hearing about and who we don't hear about anymore? Who do we continue hearing about in the Bible and who we don't hear about anymore? Listen, Apostle Paul wasn't no joke. I love Apostle Paul. He didn't care about anybody's feelings. It was only about the agenda of God and protecting the agenda. He was telling Barnabas, look, Barnabas, we gave John Mark an opportunity to help us accomplish the agenda of God. He turned it down. He don't get that opportunity to turn us down again because it's my job to protect the agenda of God and make sure it gets accomplished and to train people and surround myself with people that's going to carry this thing through even in my absence. Barnabas didn't agree. So Apostle Paul said, you take John Mark and go your way and I'm going to take Silas and go mine. And my question is again, who do we hear about throughout the rest of the Bible and who we don't hear about? So again, this is not an exhaustive qualities of an apostle, but these are five very foundational qualities that every apostle must have. Number one, they must carry the agenda of God. They must carry the plans of God. They must know what God wants. Number two, they now, because they know what God wants, it makes them more capable to structure heaven to earth government. And because they can structure heaven to earth government, it allows them to structure doctrine so that the portals can be opened, so that God's agenda can be revealed. Do you see the connection? So because they structure doctrine, they're able to have authority over territorial demons and principalities so that darkness can be repealed, so that the people can be set free, the portals of the supernatural open, so all those who connected can enter in and receive the teaching and begin to apply it in their lives. So that means if I, who am not an apostle, is connected to an apostle, I become apostolic. So the same qualities that rest on an apostle will rest on me. So now I'm able to understand the structured doctrine. I'm able, watch this, I become a carrier of God's agenda. I become a part of the structure of heaven to earth government. And I now have authority over demons and principalities. Do you see how this is working? So it goes to number five. The fifth quality is he or she, an apostle, does not care about people's feelings more than they care about God's agenda being accomplished. Once you get connected to an apostle, you carry that same quality. You want nothing more than God's agenda to be achieved and accomplished in your life, regardless of who you are around. Listen, my family knows, my wife knows, my two daughters knows. I tell them all the time, don't make me choose between you and God. Don't make me choose, because you're going to lose every time. So what am I telling them? You can walk with me as I walk with God. As for me and my house, we will adhere to the agenda of God. At any point that any of my family members don't want to adhere to the agenda of God, I love you, but we will separate because I love God more than I love anybody or anything else. That's how an apostle operates. So an apostle don't really have time to be caring about your feelings. You'll see next year as you're getting our spirit life training class, your feelings, you control your feelings. Your feelings are a production of how you're thinking. So apostle don't really care about your feelings. Well, I think we ought to do it this way. No, God say do it this way. If you don't like it, now you got two choices. You can either rearrange your thoughts to align with God's thoughts, or you can take your thoughts and leave. I've seen it happen over and over. People in churches, in organizations, especially in LTMA, apostles say we're going to do this. We had some that disagree. It's okay to disagree, and it's your right to disagree, but you're not going to stay here and disagree. You're going to move on to wherever God tells you to move on, and you're not going to contaminate this house. Just like what the Apostle Paul did with Peter. Peter, you can act like that, but act like that in your house. You can act like that over here, because here is my job to protect the agenda of God. So that's why an apostle will not care about your feelings. I hope you learned something this week. Next week, we'll be dealing with the prophet and the purpose of a prophet and how a prophet relates to an apostle. I look forward to seeing you then.